You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. I'm joined today on Nature Connections by Dr. Andrew Tresida. Now, Dr. Andrew is a general practitioner who works in Somerset in the UK. And what's very special about his work is that he's one of the new generation of practitioners who believes that patient empowerment is key to better health. So welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too. And I must just ask you, because I find it absolutely fascinating that you work as a GP and you use flower essences, and just speaking very personally here, how I would love or have loved for my GP to have used flower essences, because it's actually one of the ways that I came to using them myself was anxiety around medical procedures.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah, so I find it a great gift that somebody like yourself is merging the two modalities. So how did you come to use flower essences and bring them into what you do professionally?
I trained in orthodox medicine, and I seek to practice the best of orthodox medicine as a GP. And we learn at medical school about hardware body. We don't really learn about software being, and we don't learn about nutrition, and we don't learn about things that help us feel better in gentle ways. However, put that aside, I did my GP training. I did hospital jobs in various specialties. And alongside that was an interest in other approaches that go to the root of the matter. I hurt my back as a teenager in my teens, and the doctor suggested paracetamol, whilst the chiropractor put back something that was out. So I was open to complementary approaches. Mm. And later on, I had mumps, which changed my energy level, and I developed food intolerances. So when I went into practice, here I was practicing, as I thought, the best of medicine, but also trying to help people with helping with their backs and necks and looking at food intolerances. And my patients started to say to me, well, my aunt had homeopathy, or my uncle was a healer, or my friend had acupuncture. Mm. I could either think, well, I didn't really believe that, or how very interesting, but another day. And being interested in lots of things, I find myself learning lots. About 20 years ago, after several years of this, one of my patients gave me a complete set of plant remedies, and I suppose that fired my interest, really. You know how that sometimes in life things come in twos or threes. We get coincidences.
Yes.
In a week when three people said in a day, have you heard of rescue remedy, or rescue remedies helped me? So I looked in the set, and I read some of the books, and I thought, gosh, this is going to help me with everything. So 38 remedies. I chose 32 for me at first sitting, narrowed it down to 16 after a couple of days. And from there on became interested. Now, and that's not necessarily the way to start using flower essences, but the subject intrigued me, and it intrigued me that here were gentle tuning forks from nature that could help our software being rebalance when it went out of tune. So at medical school we learn about hardware body, but not about software being. But all of us in life have the experience that we have a body and we have a being, and hardware and software are not exclusive. They obviously intertwine with each other and they enmesh, but it is a way of looking at it which helps us understand how vibrational medicine, how tools that work as tuning forks on our software may help us.
That's a really, really nice way of explaining it. I don't think I've actually heard anybody explain it quite so clearly in such a grounded way, because everybody can understand that, I think. Yeah, brilliant. That's really, really nice. And I love the expression as well, gentle tuning forks from nature. Yeah, so I also find it really interesting that it was actually your patients, that the people that were coming to you for help, that actually helped you see this. And I think in energy medicine, we often find this, that the people come to us always have gifts for us.
I think you're right, Sarah. Actually, in life, often everyone is our teacher in one way or another. And so I've been very lucky that I've met some wonderful patients who have taught me lots, and it comes to have been my path. It may not be the path for every doctor and for every GP, but I've been privileged to know many people who have taught me lots and have inspired me with my use of fluorescences and helped me along the way.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful that you listened and took this forward, because you're now able to inspire many others, as you are doing through this interview. So you have a great website, and I encourage everybody to go onto your website, and we'll be directing people to a lot of the work that you have created towards the end of the interview. But there are lots of articles on your website, and having a look today, I saw that you have a great interest in looking at life as a journey.
That's absolutely right. I think we sort of come into life, and nobody tells us what we're here for. And perhaps the unspoken curriculum is that we're here to have experiences, here to learn from them, here to gain wisdom, here to learn about love and relationships. And relationships with nature, with other people, and with ourselves. And if you go to the Greek temple at Delphi, there are two things, two little phrases carved onto the portico. One is medinagan, which is nothing in excess, keep everything in balance. And the other phrase is know thyself. And I think part of life's journey is knowing ourselves. Now, if we take that as the curriculum, and we take life as a journey of learning and of healing and of personal growth and personal development and personal maturity, which may or may not be spiritual development, but it's certainly emotional development. If you use tools like fluorescences, they are powerful tools to help us on that journey, because they help us reflect about ourselves, they help us develop our qualities, and they help us enhance our character.
And it's through taking them that we begin to learn this, isn't it? You know, I think many people don't really understand what they do, but when we start taking them, we get that piece of information through our software, don't we?
I think that's right. I would say that two things. As a doctor, I certainly do use antibiotics. I send people to hospital. I do use antidepressants. I do use the whole range of orthodox medicine. I also recognize that what we eat and our nutrition, our environment, whether we do yoga or Tai Chi, whether we look after our bodies and our beings is also important to health. But certainly I do prescribe regular medicines. And the other thing I would say is that in my experience, my enthusiasm would like fluorescences to work for everyone all the time. But actually, they don't work for everyone all the time. They work for some people very, very well a lot of the time. And some people, they don't seem to be the right tools for them at that time.
Yes. Yes, I think we do need to be ready, don't we, on some level, whatever that means.
That's right. And I suppose my enthusiasm as a practitioner, as a GP to help people, but also as to help people in their journey in life, would say that they always work for everything, but they don't. They have an important place, but sometimes there's a bigger picture. However, we're not here to talk about not fluorescences. We're here to talk about how they do work. So I've got another question for me.
Yeah, but yes, I do see that completely. But I also just like to really back up what you're saying, is that as we are here on this life journey, then if our life journey is to experience certain aspects of the more conventional system and whatever they may bring us, then that isn't that part of our journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And sometimes for those of us who are the most enthusiastic users of complementary approaches or vibrational healing, sometimes the lesson is that we need the physical answers, and we need the wonders of modern medicine, or we need some other technical or technological help. Mm-hmm. And of course, you and I are talking 200 or 300 miles apart at the moment, and and our listeners may be hundreds and thousands of miles away. That's due to the wonders of the technology that we're able to use.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And isn't it wonderful that we can do that? So yes, let's go back on track to talking about flower essences and how we can use them, or how people like yourself, who may work in more conventional areas of medicine, because I think the work that you do can be very inspiring for others who maybe do similar work to yourself, as to how we introduce essences to people who may never have heard of them. Because it's quite hard, isn't it? I mean, to people that use essences, there's no explaining needed. But if you've not used them before, there can be a kind of glazing over that happens because people don't quite get them.
I think that's right. I think part of the way to help us understand is to think of the fact that our software being is running lots of tunes all the time, and these tunes can be in tune or they can be out of tune. We can be in harmony or we can be just a bit out of balance. And sometimes, as in on our computer, a program can get stuck. It needs a sort of a reset button, or it needs a gentle tuning fork to bring it back into balance. And I think people are often prepared to accept that that's a model that may work. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. And for most people, their first experience of a flower essence is rescue remedy. Mm. First experience in life of being helped by nature will have come many years before they ever heard of rescue remedy, when they were in the garden, or they were down by the beach, or they were looking at a beautiful sky, or walking in a forest, because every one of us instinctively knows the healing power of nature because we feel better out there. Mm. And that's hardly surprising, because our neuroanatomy and neurophysiology has developed over hundreds, thousands and millions of years against a backdrop of nature, and as mammals, and going back further in the cellular line. So I think instinctively we know that nature helps us, but for most people, probably Rescue Remedy is the brand name that people would know and recognise as the man in the street. Oh yes, I've heard of that. Yes, isn't that those little yellow bottles that they sell in the supermarket? Mm. And that's the one that will help people to start with often, for shock or distress or upset or exam nerves or going to the dentist. And quite a lot of people stop there. We all get something in life and we use an answer reactively. But if you take it a little bit further and say, how interesting, I wonder if there's anything else that might help me. Well, Dr. Bach invented or discovered 38 flower essences back in the 1930s. And since then, of course, we've had many hundreds and thousands discovered around the world by many talented makers from the 1960s on, Arthur Bailey and Lilla Devi and Ian White of the Australian Flower Essences and others. People say to me, they say, okay, so rescue remedies for this, but what's holly for, or what's willow for? And this is where it gets a bit difficult as a starting entry level for you and I as beginners to the subject. And what I've found very helpful over the years is the fact that many makers have made combinations available. Those are combinations such as the Balancing Blooms ones. Those are Calm Down and Cheer Up and Confidence. The Australian Bush ones, Confidence, Travel Essence, Meditation Essence, Woman Essence. If it says that on the packet, it's quite a heavy hint as to what it's going to help you with. Mm. And I know that other makers have made many combinations. Neil's Yard sell various combinations. And around the world, we will see them from other makers. So I think the way in for a lot of people is combinations. And the other way that I find it helpful to interest people, and I must emphasise, this isn't quite my normal work as a GP at all. This is what I sometimes do in the consulting room, but only if I've dealt with what people have come with in the first place. But it's a question of helping people help themselves on the journey of life, and this is where flower essences come in. We all have that wonderful faculty called intellect, which has been developed particularly since the Renaissance over the last 500 years, but we've also got intuition. And intuition is a muscle that we all have that is underdeveloped. But when it comes to relating to nature, when it comes to choosing flower essences, it's so powerful to choose intuitively as well as to back that up with logic and reason. And so there are various ways of choosing intuitively. Dr. Bach connected with the nature directly by finding the flowers and the trees. Julian Barnard of Healing Herbs has made some very nice leaflets, a pocket prescriber, which has pictures of the 38 essences on the front, and people very often connect with the energy of a particular picture. Or some people may find that they look at a set that's open in front of them, or the bottles that are on the shelf, and one or two stand out at them, whether it's the light around them or whether it's the fact that their daughter's called Rose, so they get attracted by wild rose or rock rose. We always rationalise away our intuition and those intuitive hints, but people will be drawn to one, two, three, four. And a useful question to ask people is, do you know what the answers are? And of course, most people will say, no, I don't know which ones to choose. And you can gauge their intuition by saying, if you were to know which ones were the ones to use, which ones might they be? So you sort of distance yourself a little bit from the critical thinking, and that can find answers. And the other way, if you've just got a set of basic Bach ones or 38 or not too many, is that some people can sometimes feel a tingling or an energy over certain bottles and not others. It's very curious, because if somebody feels something over three bottles but not the other 37, something very curious is going on.
There's communication happening on some level between the software in the human body and the energy in the bottles.
That's right, the information in the bottles, that's exactly right, because there is an entanglement and something is happening. At that point, of course, you have to use intellect to cross-check, because if you've chosen 10 remedies or 10 bottles intuitively, actually you're not choosing for a treatment bottle, you're choosing for a circumstance now, or to rebalance yourself in the moment. So intuition has its, not its pitfalls, but it has its nuances that we may not actually think or realise are quite there. But our intuition, our in-tune station, our inner tutor will always guide us to the right answers. So often in life we look for answers outside us, but actually sometimes when we ponder and reflect and think quietly and become still, the answers pop out from within. And in my experience, flower essences are tools that enhance that process in life.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature.
So flower essences can help us with inner stillness, but they can also help us develop qualities. Dr. Bach talked about qualities of being able to say no, that would be centauri, or of calming our enthusiasm, and that's one I need quite often, that's vervain. Otherwise, I find myself on a soapbox and trying to convert everyone to truths, which may be true for me, but it's not necessarily their truth. Impatiens for the quick mind, easily irritated. So we can develop personal qualities. And as we move into the other sets of essences, the other ranges that have been developed by many talented makers over the last few years, it's not just the emotional nuances of the basic palette of emotional colours we have, but issues such as relationship issues, I'm stuck for words on this, but there are so many ways in which essences can help us look, I suppose, at our shadow, at those bits of us that are hidden, put away, and also help us recognise talents beyond ourselves, help us in some ways put ourselves back in touch with aspects of our being, of our body, of our soul, of our spirit, that are there, but we may have lost the connections. and essence has helped so many ways in rejoining and strengthening those connections.
Well, I think that Dr. Bach said, didn't he, all those years ago, that, and these are not quoting his words, that one of the reasons for lack of harmony in the physical or the emotional, the spiritual, was that we weren't being true when we're not true to ourselves.
Absolutely, and that goes back to Shakespeare as well, to thine own self be true.
Yeah.
Dr. Bach in Heal Thyself, and in a lecture he gave near his death, he railed at a whole group of his fellow medical professionals then, who were actually homeopaths, so they should have been allies of his. And he said, ye suffer from yourselves. You know, it's you that are the problem. Well, we're all the problem, but actually we carry the answers as well. And there's that lovely Aesop's fable about the man walking by a stream, and there's a young boy swimming in the stream in difficulties who's shouting for help. And the rather pompous man says, you silly boy, what are you swimming in there for? You know, what a stupid place to swim. And the little boy says, please, sir, can you save me first and tell me off afterwards?
Yes, yes, yeah. So I'd like to ask you, your GP self, when people come to you nowadays, clearly you've mentioned that you, as a GP, they come to see you for help on the physical, and there are many ways that you do that as a GP. But what emotional aspects do you see coming forward nowadays in this very modern world that can be helped by flower essences?
I think the two basic ones are that a lot of people feel stressed at times, work stress, hassle, general life busyness, and that's where either the rescue remedy or I find that the balancing blooms range, which are stocked in the osteopath in our local town, are very well accessed. There's one called Calm Down, which could have been designed for work stress. It's got the ingredients of rescue remedy in it, and it's got holly, vine, and willow, holly, beech, and willow, which are feeling a bit antagonistic to the world. Vervain for excessive enthusiasm, elm for overwhelm, and white chestnut for your mind that spins round and round and round. And so, if you were to see me and ask about stress, I would certainly point you to the websites and help in the orthodox line. But I might well share with you a drop of Calm Down on your wrist by taking some myself first. And quite a lot of people would then feel better from that and then try it out themselves. I think the other big issue that's going on in life is there are levels of gloom and sadness that so many of us carry. There's bad news in the media so often, or there's bad news that's focused on by television, newspaper, and actually taking a range of the Bach ones to deal with the negativities, the sadnesses of life, is quite useful. And there's one called Cheer Up, which is a pretty good one to take. And I've seen some remarkable changes in people for taking these for several days or weeks.
Mm. And I guess, as you alluded to at the beginning of our conversation, because of technology nowadays, we can all access information and images that of things that are happening that are not near us. So all the time, particularly if we're very sensitive, which many, many people are, as I know you know, can turn on the television, turn on the radio, look in newspapers, and we can really be impacted, can't we, by what we see.
That's quite right. And so I think dealing with a layer of the negativity can be very helpful. I think you've just raised a really important point, is that not all of us have good boundaries. Well, that is to say, particularly the more sensitive people, often the more intuitive people, that intuition is a filter that picks up information from the world. And it's a very valuable filter, or a very valuable tool, but it needs guarding. And so it needs protecting as well. And I read an interesting book called The Sensitive Person's Survival Guide by Kyra Message, who is a psychotherapist in the States. And she found that she was actually picking up her clients' energy and their emotions before they came to see her sometimes, when they were in great distress. So they sort of tapped into the energy field of the world and found her number, as it were, and not only made a call to her office and spoke to the secretary, but it's transferred their weather to her, or she was weather, and she found some of the American essences, the FES ones, particularly helpful, yarrow, and there's one that Arthur Bailey makes in this country, betony, and which other people make as well, which is quite helpful at reinforcing that boundary that we should all remember, but don't necessarily have. So taking that one enables us to recall what is our stuff and what is someone else's stuff. Because so often those who are sensitive pick up other people's stuff and think it's their own stuff.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. Well, I think it's really, really, really inspiring that you do this work and that you stand for people empowerment. And you mentioned this right at the beginning, that you are one of the practitioners nowadays that who believes that patient empowerment is the way to better health. Can you just talk to us a little bit more about what that means to you, patient empowerment?
I think that there is a challenge when we see any professional in life that we give away our power, whether it's to the lawyer or the electrician or to the person who's helping us with our car or it's our banker. Actually, the duty of a professional is not to take the power, it's to share power and to help the client, the other person, stand and do what they can for themselves. Now, in medicine, it gets a little bit more complicated, because if you've had a heart attack or broken a bone or you need antibiotics, you need not just the professional opinion. The power goes to the professional to help you with the tools. But as much as we can, we need, as professionals, and we need as human beings, to take our own power and not give it away. Eric Byrne talked about transactional analysis and parent, adult, child, and the ideal relationship between two people is adult, adult, but so often it can drift into parent, child if we're not careful, especially in the medical relationship, if we feel one down, anxious, fearful, or worried, when we may give away our power to the professional. The danger with that is that the professional may take it, but it may not always get given back at the end of the transaction, or we may want the professional to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want the answers from someone else. But I firmly believe that in life we're all growing together, that we all stand alongside each other and help each other. And it's a two-way trade. The professional is always learning from every person they meet. And every person they meet should learn from them. After all, the word doctor comes from the derivation meaning teacher. Docere, I teach. So we're all here helping each other. We're all here learning. And if the power sharing is as equal as possible, the professional actually is more satisfied and the client is more satisfied. Mm. If the power sharing is not equal, the unhappy client will then complain. And in the drama triangle, which Jill Edwards has written about, of victim, rescuer, persecutor, the person who's given away their power may take the role of victim and give it to someone who rescues them. However, when the person who's given away their power is unhappy, they flip out of victim role into persecutor and blame the professional, blame the system, and it all goes wobbly for everyone.
Mm. Mm.
There's a notice on an Australian GP's door which says, "Your health is your concern. Sorry, your health is our concern, but your responsibility." And I think so often in life we are, as patients, we're tempted to pretend that health is there for granted and we have nothing, we don't need to take responsibility, and that the professionals will sort it out when things go badly. Well, yes and no. Actually, our health is our concern and the health and the professionals will help us, but it is our responsibility.
And also what we were talking about at the beginning is that our life is a journey of healing, and so whatever happens along that journey is something for us all to learn from.
Exactly. It's a journey of healing and learning, and it's pretty exciting, and it's a pretty exciting time to be alive in the history of the
world. It is. Yes, and the more that we can mirror that back to each other through any relationship we have, it makes it all the more magical, doesn't it?
It does indeed. And so I suppose one last thing I would say about flower essences is to take on board the Stephen Covey stuff. That's the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and to be proactive. Begin with the aim in mind, and the aim in mind is that we're here doing a journey, and the journey is development. Be proactive. Engage with the journey. Find the tools that make it easy. And in my experience, and the experience of many hundreds and thousands of other people, flower essences are powerful tools to help us along the journey of life, to help us reflect, to help us learn, and to help us grow.
Well, I know that you also you were an author of The Lazy Person's Guide to Emotional Healing, which I actually have on my desk right in front of me. So anybody listening can certainly access some more of your wisdom through this book. And there's lots of information, isn't there, about all different flower essences in the book?
That's quite right. I'm afraid it's out of print, but there are copies available still.
Is it? Oh, gosh, that's a shame. Yes.
The more recent one is I'm Fine, Learning to Unblock Your Emotions, which has got a little bit about flower essences on. But there's another one planned for later this year, so please watch.
Okay, well, maybe we can do an interview when it launches.
Very much.
And I know, and again, we're just sort of seeding something for the future here, but I know you also have a great interest and a great knowledge in how to use technology healthily, effectively, all the electromagnetic smog that we can suffer from. And so, yeah, that's something that you're also very passionate about, isn't it?
I think it's something I've observed in my patients in Somerset, mm-hmm. that people have come to me with either headaches or poor sleep. And one of the key things in medicine is to take away the cause if there is a cause. And for a number of people, I've found that removing electromagnetics from, particularly from the bedroom, but minimizing electromagnetic exposure, such as from Wi-Fi routers or cordless phones or mobile phones, either taking those away from the bedroom or switching them off at night, or if it's a mobile phone, putting it on airplane mode, a number of people have been made a lot better. That's made me interested in the subject. And I think there is something for society to learn about how electromagnetic fields can affect our health. And as you say, perhaps that's a topic for another day, but it's a very interesting topic that's playing out at the moment.
Yes, and another part of this empowerment, isn't it? You know, of us finding out how to be the best we can be. So thank you very much for sharing of your wisdom today. Would you like to tell everybody how they can find out more about what you do?
Certainly. I've got a website. I'm a doctor. I'm Andrew. It's Dr. Andrew, drandrew.co.uk. And there's a film that a friend and I made some years ago called Nature's Alchemy. And I think if you go to Culture Unplugged, Spirit Enlightened is the current film festival there. And there's a 37-minute film called Nature's Alchemy. I have to apologise, it's probably 10 minutes too long. You may be asleep by the end of it.
Yeah, I don't think people will fall asleep, because it's beautiful.
Well, that's very...
And on your Dr. Andrew site, that you can watch a 7-minute part of it if people just want a taster, can't they? They can, right. Yeah. It's very, very beautiful. I had a look at it a few days ago and I didn't want to go to sleep at all. It was really, really, really beautiful.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for all the work that you do. You're a very inspiring role model for many people, including myself. And thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much. You're very kind.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.